at the end of last year, 20, I think it was 2015, he gave us, 2016, he gave us this confession, the visitation, manifestation, and demonstration confession. And all throughout the year, the pastor told us, let's pray that in our services that God confirms his word with signs following him. Hallelujah. With signs following. Amen. So God did the miraculous in this church. Amen. 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 Because pastor set the stage for us to say, let's pray for the manifestation. The manifestation. Truly, we make the confession about the manifestation of our faith over our offering. But he said this was going to be the year of manifestation. He was guiding us and teaching us how we need to stand in that word and how we need to trust God and believe him no matter what for the manifestation. Like Elder Cecil gave that testimony about not giving it a name, but trusting God. Amen. For the manifestation. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for Pastor Claude Williams. Amen. For giving us these spiritual nuggets, these confessions, and teaching us how to make confessions over our lives. Amen. So I just wanted to just say that quick word to honor the foundation that was set here at Victory Christian Center Church. Amen. Amen. And it's the song that we just sang, that there's nobody greater. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the Lord, my shepherd. And I said my shepherd instead of our shepherd, because I want you to say the Lord, my shepherd, because it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing, because you got to know him for yourself as your shepherd. So I'm going to say the Lord, my shepherd. Amen. Before I begin, let me bow my head and pray. Father God, we just thank you, O Lord God, for allowing us, O Lord God, to come together, O Lord God, once again, O Lord God, in your house of prayer, O Lord God. O Lord God, I decrease, Lord God, that you increase in me, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that your word says that you'll put your words in my mouth, Lord God. And I've studied your word, Lord God. But only you know, O Lord God, how you want me to bring it out, Lord God. And I ask, O Lord God, that you put your words in my mouth, that you anoint me, Lord God, that I give you my hands, my feet, I give you all of me, Lord God, so that you can use me, Lord God, as your vessel, your instrument, Lord God, in this last day of 2017, Lord God, to give you glory, Lord God, to give you praise, Lord God, and to lift up Jesus in this house, Lord God, as my shepherd, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for doing it. I thank you for giving each and everyone here, Lord God, ears to hear and hearts to receive, Lord God, what the Spirit has to say. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the title of my message is The Lord, My Shepherd. Amen. And the Hebrew word for the Lord, my shepherd, is Jehovah Rohi. And that, the definition says he's unchangeable, an intimate and personal God. The Jehovah portion, God allowed us to know him as Lord, as Jehovah, the personal and the intimate God. The one who's concerned, who has tender care and provision and guidance for his people. And the Rohi portion of that name is shepherd. Amen. So we're going to look at a familiar passage tonight that many of us often turn to for peace and comfort. Amen. And oh, what peace we find as we look at this passage in Psalm 23, as we see Jesus as our shepherd. Amen. Amen. So if you'll turn with me to Psalm 23, we'll read that and then we'll get into the lesson. Amen. And if you have it, please say amen. Amen. And I'm going to read it from the King James Version. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. And as I looked up the word shepherd, shepherd is described as one who tends to flocks, not merely one who feeds them, but exercises oversight, tender care, and vigilance, one who makes provision for his flock. A shepherd protects, helps, and gently prods or pokes us, like as you're sleeping and you might tend to snore like I do sometimes, and somebody might need to poke you a little bit. He might need to poke, and you know when he's poking you, because it's just that little nudge you're feeling. You know that the Spirit of God is poking you because you're doing something, and I need to get you back on the right path. Just a little prod, a little poke. It says that, and when I started studying about sheep, I've talked about the shepherd here, but let me tell you a little something about sheep. It said that sheep are the most helpless of domesticated animals, and by nature, they're followers. And I read a study that said that if one sheep jumps off the cliff, the others will follow. So sheep need a shepherd. So if you're willing to accept that Jesus Christ is the shepherd, then you must admit that we are sheep. Amen. Amen. And sheep must be totally dependent upon the shepherd who tends them. The shepherd will guide to protect and watch over the sheep. So because I said you have to admit that we are the sheep, let me read what it says in Psalm 103. It says, we are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Right. Isaiah 40:11 says that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Sheep. Sheep belong to a fold, as we are as believers in Jesus Christ. We're not wild animals. We belong to an owner. We have an owner. Amen. Romans 14:8 tells me that if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. So we are not shepherdless. We have a shepherd. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:4 says, you belong to God, my children, my dear children, in case you didn't know. And in looking at this psalm, I believe you will agree with me that David knew something about being a shepherd, because David watched his father's sheep. Amen. He knew something about being a shepherd. He knew how to care for the sheep. Amen. Amen. So in looking at that verse, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He cares for me. He's my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? He watches over me. He preserves me, because David made a person say, the Lord is my shepherd. And just in case the people didn't understand, when he had to come up against Goliath, David had to explain some things to him now. Say, I know you think I'm a young man, but let me tell you, I know some stuff. I've done some things. He said, because he says in 1 Samuel 17:34, he says, David, this is what he told Saul. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. And I took the lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And said, when he rose against me, I caught it by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. He said, so I know something about, I can take down this uncircumcised Philistine. You don't know who you're talking to, because I know what a shepherd does. I know how to protect. I know how to defend. And I'm not going to stand if you're coming against the God of Israel. Hallelujah. So a shepherd is one who defends and protects. A shepherd wants the best for us. Amen. Christ himself told us of his relationship to us as the shepherd. in John 10, the 11th verse through the 15th, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now let me stop right there on good. I looked up the word good, and it says beautiful, worthy, excellent, joyful, honorable, and appealing. Appealing, desirable. That's why Jesus says, if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw, because he's got the appeal. Because when he's lifted up, he's got the drawing power, because he draws with his love. He says, lift me up and I'll draw, because I'm the good shepherd and I got what people want. I got what they need. Hallelujah. Then he says, but he says in that 12th verse, I'm the good shepherd in the 11th verse, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And I looked up that word hireling. I said, Lord, what is a hireling? It's somebody paid to watch the sheep. So they're not the owner of the sheep. Because it's a difference when you own something, and when you paid to do it. Now come and tell me this. Now, if you're on your job and somebody come to rob the place and they got the gun and they say, you give me the money, I'll blow your brains out. Are you going to leave it or are you going to run? Because you say it ain't none of mine. It's not worth dying. It's not worth dying. But now take the same example in your house with your children or your grandchildren. Somebody come in to your home. And they try to hurt your grandchildren or your children. Are you going to run and leave them? No, because they belong to you. They're not the babysitter. Amen? So we belong to the Lord. So he had to explain some things there. In the 14th verse, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. He said, I know my sheep, and they know me. Amen. They know me because he's spending some time with them. Because that's what David did. He spent time out there watching over his father's sheep. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to spend time with us so that he not only knows us, we know him. Amen. In Hebrews 13 and 20, he's defined as the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen. But before I leave the John 10, he's the good shepherd because what happened? He laid down his life for his sheep. That's why he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13 and 20 because it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the great shepherd, the risen Savior, amen, who died for us and shed his blood for us and established a new covenant in his blood, amen. And he's the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5 and 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. Hallelujah. He's a chief shepherd. The highest shepherd of them all. There's none greater, as we sing. There's none greater than him. Hallelujah. But let me tell you some more things about the shepherd. Jesus, our shepherd. He's the door to the sheepfold. Amen. Because John 10 and 3 says the doorkeeper opens the gate for this man, and the sheep hear his voice and pay attention to it. And knowing that they listen, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out to pasture. But he says, then no one can enter the door. He says, I'm the door in John 10 and 9. And anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live forever and will go in and out freely and find pasture, spiritual security. So he's the door. He's the keeper of the sheep. He watches over us and he's always watching over us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then we go down to that A, the B part of that verse where it says that shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I shall not want because the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd provides everything that the sheep needs. I'm completely satisfied in him because he cares for me and he takes pleasure in me and my well-being. Because as it says in Acts 17 and 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. Psalm 107 and 9 says, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. And I like the characteristics as they have those little bookmarks that in your book, and they have one for Debbie, and it says that seeking one. Psalm 34 and 10 says, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Hallelujah. Seeking one. Right. Now, thank you, Lord. I'm like, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to be a seeking one, Lord God. Hallelujah. And now looking at the next verse, it says, he maketh me to lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. Green pastures, a rich and flourishing place, rich and full of the word. But if you want to know something about sheep, you can't lie down if you're fearful or you're hungry. So they won't lie down no matter how it looks. They want to lie down when they're not fearful or hungry. And they can only, fear can only be removed by who? The shepherd. He'll remove the fear and the friction. Because sometimes the sheep can't get along. Amen. Surprise. Sometimes sheep can't get along, so the shepherd comes because he's now got to bring some order in there amongst the sheep. Stop the bullying. Hallelujah. So the shepherd does long to provide peace. Amen. Amen. So when the sheep are comfortable and when they feel safe and secure, when the friction's gone, they're not afraid. Then they can lie down in those tender and green pastures. Amen. Because they know that the shepherd is with them. Amen. Because in Deuteronomy 31 and 8, we must also hold on to this truth as well, that the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you, and he will neither fail you nor abandon you. So when you have that kind of confidence and that kind of security, then you can now lie down because you're not afraid now. I don't have to be afraid because I know he's with me. So knowing this now gives peace and puts our mind at ease that there is nothing like the presence of God to dispel that fear and that panic that was among us. Even in the midst of trouble, misfortune, just knowing that the shepherd is there, then we can lie down in peace and sleep, for he keepeth us. Amen. In that place of peace, the Holy Spirit makes real to us the presence of Jesus when we turn to God and we tell him what's on our heart. When we say, Father God, this is beyond me. I don't understand. Please provide a direction. Please help me, God, to get past this. I can't do it by myself. Because when he's poking and prodding us, he's willing to like, come close. Talk to me. Just be plain. Just be real. He said, just tell me what's on your heart. And just tell him, I don't understand this. I can't do this. This is too hard to me. And you just tell him everything from A to Z. And he don't care. He want to know about it. Amen. And when we do that, in a matter of time, we don't know when or how, because it's not up to us to know when or how. It's for him to provide the healing and the restoration that we need. Yes. Amen. Amen. It's up to him to do it in his time. Amen. Amen. And then that next B portion of the second verse says, and he leadeth me beside the still and restful waters. As we know that the physical body needs water and our souls need the water of the spirit of the eternal God. When a thirsty sheep gets restless, they search for fulfillment. They need some water. They start searching. We, like sheep, we search for satisfaction. We need some satisfaction. If we don't know the Lord, sometimes when we know the Lord, we're still searching.
Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah.
But when we search, like the sheep, they start drinking from polluted holes full of parasites that cause all kind of illnesses. But Jesus makes it clear that the souls can only be fully satisfied when we thirst for spiritual life quenched by drawing on him. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. And I looked up that word drink, and it means to take in, to accept, to believe, to accept life of Christ where it becomes a part of your every being. Drink. He said, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Come to me and accept what I have to give you. I got something I want to give you. He said, come and accept it. Just receive it. Believe in me. He said, just come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because it says in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And one thing about the shepherd, he knows the best drinking places. Amen. And nobody can satisfy you like the shepherd. He know the best drinking holes for the sheep. He's not going to take you to the polluted places. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 3, he says, he refreshes and restores my life, myself. He refreshes and he restores my life. He restores me. David was familiar with frustrations. I couldn't find when David wrote this, but I imagine he must have been an experienced man who had been through some stuff, who had been chased from Saul from here to there, not know if he was going to be killed. He'd have been tempted. He's now had a man killed. I believe he's been through some stuff to say, now I know about my shepherd, the Lord, my shepherd. And I believe that he was frustrated. I believe that he was hopeless at times, and he didn't have any strength. And as I studied the sheep, it says, studied the sheep sometimes were cast down and they needed restoration. And they would just lie on their backs with the legs up and was struggling to get off the back, to get back on their legs. And they couldn't get back up. They was literally just lying there, just dying. Like we too as sheep, sometimes we just lie there, we just die. We just die. But he want to help us. He want to restore us. David, he cried out when his burden was too much to bear. In Psalm 42 and 5, he says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. I just want your presence, Lord. He said, I just want your presence. I need your presence, Lord God. Don't take your presence. Because David even pleaded, Lord, don't take your presence away from me. Don't take your spirit from me, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus longs to restore our souls. As we go into 2018, allow him to restore your souls. Know him as the Lord, your shepherd. As Mother Carey already said, we don't want to be without him. There's no place that we want to be without the Lord. And I studied a little further about the sheep and the reasons that they might be cast down. Sometimes their fleece got a little bit too long and it weighed them down. Sometimes in life we get too self-assured because now we not had, it looks like everything is going well. But even in the good times, we need to trust in the Lord, my shepherd. Because when the bad times come, we already know what to do because I've been trusting him and nothing, there's no difference. I'm still trusting you, Lord. I'm going to still trust you as the Lord, my shepherd. So we must not get so self-assured. He is utterly dependent on the Lord. Sometimes the sheep would get complacent. Like the rich man thought that he had everything he needed to enter the kingdom of God. We must not get so complacent and feel like, okay, there's nothing more for me to do. But as long as there's breath in our body, there's still more for us to do. And with the sheep, sometimes the shepherd would have to change to a different pasture to benefit the sheep as well as the shepherd so that they could continue to flourish. Amen. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning, but for his name's sake. So when we talk about we are the righteousness of God, it's not for what we've done, it's for his name's sake. Grace is the starting point, but giving him the glory is the destination. Grace is the starting point. Lord, I thank you for your grace, Lord God. But the destination that you get the glory in all that I do, Lord God, and all that I say. Hallelujah. Yes, though I walk through the deep, the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. For you are with me. Isaiah 43 and 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fires, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Think of the three Hebrew boys. They went in the fire, but Jesus went in the fire with them. They came out, they were not scorched, nor did they smell like smoke. So we want to go through the valley. We're not coming to sit in the valley. We're going through the valley, and we come out of the other side. We don't want to come out with a bunch of baggage because we want to go through and let God come out and help us to be stronger when we come up out of it with no smell of smoke on us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Over and over again, God proves his care and his concern as we look back and we reflect on his faithfulness in every crisis and circumstance. Because truly, as Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? His rod to protect and his staff to guide, they comfort me. The rod is used to ward off predators, but it's also used to correct or discipline the sheep if they wander off. The rod is symbolic of the word of God because it tells us in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus used a rod when he was tempted by Satan. Hallelujah. Amen. The staff is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The staff was used, as we talked about earlier, to gently lift the lamb, to reach out and draw them to himself, to prod them along. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, and he draws us together in fellowship. In fellowship. Amen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now think about this. A banquet table prepared before us. God is the host, and we are the guests at the table. We're the guest. It's a prepared table. Even though the enemies may be present, it's still a prepared table because God is the host of it. He's the one that invited us to the table. Just as when Jesus got ready to go away, he told them, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house of many mansions. A prepared place. It's for prepared people who continue to look to the Lord, my shepherd. Surely or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place forever. So when we're confident that the ever-present shepherd is on the scene, with boldness we can say that. We can say, surely or only goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And I read a little short story, and this little boy, they moved to this new neighborhood, and the mother used to started, the little kid was go to school with one of the neighbors, and the mother and her friend would get in the car and follow them as they walked to the bus stop. And they did this for months and months. And this little kid said, "It's a car following us." He said, and but his mother had also taught him the 23rd Psalm. And so he said, "It's a car following us. I notice this car is following us every day when we come to school." He said, "Oh, don't worry. That's surely goodness and mercy. That's surely goodness and Miss Mercy. They follow me all the days of my life. Surely." So surely, we know that he's always present because the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely his goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And David, he continued to say that that was one thing that he asked of the Lord, and this only did he seek it, that he might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, because he desired the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to be separated from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to be separated from him. And as I continue to look at that Psalm 27 and 4, all the way through the 8th verse, he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek." I don't seek nothing else. I just want to be in his presence. I just want to know that the shepherd is right there with me. Because if the shepherd is there, I'll have everything that I need. Hallelujah. He says, "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." And guess what his heart said? "And my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek." Seeking one. For those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. No good thing. Hallelujah. So I know when I seek the Lord, I won't lack a good thing, because he is the Lord, my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi. Nobody greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So may you fall in love with the good shepherd. Hallelujah. His presence and your trust in him guarantees no lack. Only green pastures. There will be still waters of peace, guidance to the path of right living, prepared tables with God at the center, freedom for fear, oil of the spirit for your mind, quietness and contentment, because the Lord is your shepherd. And we're now down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Giving God the glory. The Lord, my shepherd. The Lord, my shepherd. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. What a way to go into 2018. Nobody greater. Jehovah.